Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Park. I'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a moment, but as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down the dew. Verses 1 through 20, Proverbs chapter 3. Father, thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is a book of wisdom. It's a book of insight, understanding, and knowledge that will bless us as we take time to read and meditate on it and fill our hearts and our minds with your word, with the wisdom of your word, the power of your word, the grace upon your word. Lord, help us to grow today and every day more and more with the understanding that simply reading and meditating on your word can bless our lives in so many ways. Open our minds and our hearts to understand the great and very important place your word always has and always will play in our lives, and empower us to be faithful students who read and meditate on your word every day and walk in its wisdom and obey it every day as well. We thank you and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We have with us in studio with us today, Les Riley, who is the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And in the way of introducing Les, I want to share a little bit from the brochure that he gave to us about the Morning Center. It states the vision is the Morning Center will accomplish its mission by laboring through and alongside the local church and partnering ministries to lavish the love of Christ on mothers who are disadvantaged financially, spiritually, emotionally, or socially. More broadly, we are working toward the physical, spiritual, emotional, social, and economic wellness of our patients, their families, and the communities where we work for the glory of Christ. The Morning Center is the antithesis of Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. The Morning Center is an antidote to costly, counterproductive, and often destructive government social welfare programs. We trust Christ to use us to advance his kingdom against these life-destroying alternatives. And then the mission states, the Morning Center exists to provide high-quality, comprehensive maternity care, including prenatal, labor, delivery, and postpartum, absolutely free in the name of Christ Jesus. Well, again, welcome, Les, to the Hour of Intercession.
Thank you, Joseph.
Good to have you with us today, and I appreciate you coming to share about the work that you do. And you've been involved in the pro-life cause a long, long, long time, and the Lord's used you to do some great work. But as we start off, if you'll just tell our listeners, introduce yourself a little further, but then tell us more, really expand on helping believers to understand what the mission and the ministry of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee, where you direct, is about.
Sure, sure. Well, as you know, Joseph, I've been involved in pro-life ministry at multiple levels for a number of years, as you say, probably 25 years. You and I have known each other, I guess, 7, 8 years, something like that. Okay. We've done outreach at the abortion clinic where we'd go and pray and reach out to the mothers and offer them alternatives, try to share the gospel with the workers and the mothers and the people that came with them. We've been involved in helping with pregnancy centers, with adoption and foster care ministries, and have been involved in the political realm as well. I was involved where we met with trying to get life defined as at conception in our state constitution, mm-hmm. Which would protect all unborn life. And then probably 5 years ago, I first heard of the Morning Center. And we were working on that campaign that you and I engaged in together. I heard that the idea was offered to open up a free maternity hospital in every city in America big enough for an abortion clinic.
Mm-hmm. So the one that you direct in Memphis, is that the first?
That is the very first.
The first one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so that's a really big vision, but mm-hmm. but we started off in Memphis with a maternity clinic in a church. Memphis was chosen as the pilot city because Memphis has a terribly high abortion rate, but Memphis also has issues with poverty, with crime, with racism, with broken homes, and related to poverty and particularly the transportation challenges. Memphis has a very high infant mortality and maternal mortality rate. Mm-hmm. So we went into Memphis hoping to kind of fill our slot on the wall. And our slot on the wall, for your listeners to maybe understand a little better, is, you know, we work very closely with pregnancy centers. And if you, mm-hmm. at first glance, if you hear what we do, it sounds like we're doing what a pregnancy center does. But actually, we partner with them and lock arms so that a girl that chooses not to have abortion, a girl that maybe just comes in a poverty situation who is struggling, or a girl that just comes to us that doesn't have insurance, doesn't have the ability to pay for care and is pregnant, we have doctors, nurses, nurse practitioners, ultrasonographers, and we set up medical clinics in different inner city neighborhoods, mm-hmm. and we give full prenatal care.
All for free.
Absolutely free. And then one of our doctors will deliver mm-hmm. the baby, and that's absolutely free too. Mm. So we give absolutely free maternity care up to including delivery, and we try to, you know, in that period of time, we've got, you know, 6 to 8 months to get to know the girls, to build a relationship with them, to find out, you know, what their other needs are, how they got into this situation, and offer social help and God willing, spiritual help as well, as we share the gospel with them, engage them in local churches, engage them in ministries that we're aware of. So mm-hmm. that's kind of what we do. And we've, to date, we've delivered almost 300 babies in mm-hmm. slightly over 2.5 years.
Praise God,
got 4 clinics operating mm-hmm. just in Memphis, but our Atlanta Morning Center will be opening in March of 2017.
Oh, right around the corner.
Yeah,
then.
And we've got some mm-hmm. exciting things going on in Mississippi, Arkansas, Detroit, other places in early 2017 as well.
You know, Les, something that comes to my mind is just, you know, something that as you and I, as believers, we hear it, and as a pastor involved in the pro-life cause, I hear it. People will often say about those that are involved in the cause of standing for life and against abortion, well, you all only care about the baby, and you don't care about the woman, and you don't care about the baby and the mom after, which, of course, is really not true.
Right.
But that's an argument that's often used as to why people don't get involved with the pro-life cause. Well, the reality is the ministry that you're involved in, as well as the ministry of pregnancy clinics, but yours more so, really is very much an answer to that issue.
Correct. Mm. Correct. And, you know, what we're doing is fairly new in modern times, but it's actually also very old mm-hmm. because, you know, before there were any social welfare programs, it was the church that cared for mothers.
And in
neighborhoods and in families and in relationships all over our country and all over the world, it's individual Christians and Christian churches that are still providing care in a relational one-on-one way for women when they get in trouble. But this is just a more formal, organized way to, you know, to do it. You know, as you're aware, Joseph, almost every hospital in America was built originally by Christians mm-hmm. and, you know, as a ministry tool. And so we're just going back to that, and we're stepping up and offering a conduit for the church mm-hmm. to reach the underserved.
And, you know, Les, something I think of, too, is that the work of a ministry like yours, as well as much of the work that pregnancy clinics provide, is so much on the front lines of this issue because,
right.
you know, the life issue is a huge issue in all of our culture, even though lots of people wanted to try to make it seem like it was a back burner issue, for example, during the presidential campaign. But in reality, it was one of, if not the most critical issues
right.
for the church and the culture to really address. And thank God, it looks like people did, by the grace of God, step up and help to bring it to the forefront. But the fact is, there's such a need today to really stir the church, to wake up and get involved very much so, all the more now because of, by the grace of God, the headway that's been made. But ministries like, again, like who you are, what the Morning Center does, as well as pregnancy clinics, really are on the front lines, and it's so important for the church to get to come alongside and
right.
really support, pray for, give financially, send volunteers, because again, you are the church. You're an extension
right.
of the church, and this is where the church should be very much involved.
Right, right. And I think that's so crucial that, Jesus has left the church here on earth to do his work.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see ourselves as, we see ourselves as a true, I know you don't like the term, but a true parachurch ministry is that we are there to help the church. We're to assist the church in reaching people who they might not otherwise be able to reach. But, one of the things I really appreciate about working at the Morning Center is that, you know, Joseph Stalin, and I think you've heard me say this before, said, one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we can talk about abortion as an issue, as
mm-hmm.
long as we can talk about it in, you know, sanitized terms and talk about it in numbers, you know, we're not dealing with the reality that every one of these children and every one of these mothers
mm-hmm.
is created unique in the likeness and image of God.
That's
so just
right.
like Jesus, you know, deals with each of us individually and gives us what we need, we at the Morning Center are able to show that love to each individual mother, not
mm-hmm.
like she's got stereotypical problems or not like she's an issue or a statistic,
mm-hmm.
but somebody who needs love and care, and the Morning Center is able to provide that type of care.
Right. I see a question in the chat that says, so they're providing complete free prenatal care and delivery care for the mom. So is that correct?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct. We don't charge anything. You couldn't pay us if you wanted to.
Well, and tell us, how do you do that? How do you provide all this for free?
Well, the missionary, I believe it was Hudson Taylor, said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's provision.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's distinctive about us is we don't accept any money from the government
mm-hmm.
at all, and we don't accept any payment from our patients. This is all private free will charity. Our parent ministry, Samaritan, you know, is a Christian medical cost-sharing ministry. They put up the seed capital, but we've had 7,000 roughly people give money at least once. We have churches mm-hmm. all over the Memphis area and literally all over the country that provide everything from, you know, we do baby showers for our moms, and they provide clothes, they provide things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it's the free will gifts of God's people
mm-hmm.
that are providing all of this. You know, our Father owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
That's right.
And you
That's
know, right. we think, when I first came on board, one of the things that people really didn't understand is, how can you do all this without taking any government money?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've got to get over the idea that government's resources are unlimited and God's are limited.
Mm-hmm.
God has all the resources he needs to pay for the care of all the abortion-minded women. It's
That's
in
right.
the pockets of his people.
That's right.
And
That's
so
right.
we trust, we continue to do the work, we share what we're doing, and people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll pick up there on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Les Riley, the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
How would you distinguish between a modern-day contract and God's ancient covenant? For one thing, in a contract, two or more human beings come together looking for mutual advantage. They study a situation, negotiate, and finally say, "We have reached an agreement." Contracts usually concern money, property, or services. With God's covenant, Abraham never approached God at the bargaining table. God simply said, "This is what I have to offer." The covenant hinged on Abraham's faith in God and in the certainty that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God says a thing, then that settles it. By faith, we have inherited God's covenant with Abraham. Through it, God promised us eternal, abundant life. Can you believe God today for the covenant and thank Him? Ask God to give you the will to serve Him faithfully and know that God will always keep His word. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
More than a million believers have signed the pledge to boycott Target, and we urge you to join them. The American Family Association opposes the policy of Target allowing transgenders into the bathroom of their choice. Here's AFA President Tim Wildman.
There's a reason why we've had male and female separation in restrooms and fitting rooms for all of mankind's history.
A policy which allows men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms is not right, nor is it safe.
I just can't see corporate executives at Target or anywhere else sitting around a table going, "You know, guys, I think we need to open up our women's restrooms for men."
Visit AFA.net to learn more and sign the pledge to boycott Target. Don't spend your money at Target until they stop putting our family members at risk with this dangerous, politically correct policy.
Protect your wives, daughters, your sisters, your moms. Don't shop at Target. Let them know.
That's AFA.net.
If he somehow involved.
The music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest today is Les Riley. He's the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And Les, I tell you, I want to share a scripture, and then I want to ask a question or two here. But this is the book of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 25, a very familiar parable of Christ. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, You've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring it on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, He who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, Go and do likewise. You know, probably one of the best known parables Jesus told, the parable of the Good Samaritan. But it's a power, amongst other things, a powerful lesson about what the church should look like in its actions and its lifestyle. And the priest didn't represent the heart of God in this story, in this parable. Neither did the Levite, but it was the Samaritan that very much so who went deep into his pocket, deep into his own time, sacrificially gave himself to help someone in great need. And that powerfully demonstrates the work of ministries like the Morning Center, one that just reaches out in deeply giving of its time, energy, and self to really reach out to people in most need in some of our communities.
Right, right. Yeah, we're really grateful for you reading that passage, because that's kind of the heart of what we do. We like to say we're living out the first great command by living out the second great command. You know, we're loving God by loving our neighbors, and that's what we encourage encourage the people that work for us to do. You know, one of the things that is a distinctive as ours is we want to help the physical body, but it's also important that we understand that the main problem that people have is their heart.
That's right.
And that, you know, we want to share the gospel with them, and we don't want people to be under the illusion that if they come in and help and do good religious things, that makes them okay with God. But what we do want to encourage people to do is, if they've been redeemed by Christ and if they love Christ, to live out that love, to share the gospel in word, but also in deed. You know, in working with a local pregnancy center, with other local mercy ministries, or in our case, the Morning Center, and we're very grateful that we've got an increasing number of individual believers and churches that are stepping up to do just that.
That's good. That's good. Les, would you take a moment now to pray for believers to really grasp what you just pointed out, the need for us, even in the midst of doing good ministry that really reaches out to people, it's always critical that we keep the sharing of the gospel at the forefront of everything we do. That's true for ministry. That's true for individual believers. That's true for local churches. We always have to make it a priority to always seek to be making disciples, sharing the gospel, and helping people grow in their faith.
Sure.
Would you pray for
that?
Yeah, sure.
Father, thank you for this day, and thank you that you've allowed Joseph and I to be here together for this brief time to share Jesus. About the work of the Morning Center. But, Lord, we pray that through Joseph's ministry, through the Morning Center, through other ministries out there, Lord, Jesus. Even in our own soul, that we would keep the primacy of the gospel of Christ as the chief thing. Father, we know that you are able to change men and nations. You are able to restore cultures by stepping in and regenerating lost souls and bringing your enemies from death to life. And so, Lord, we pray that your people, as they go about doing good works, they would keep sharing the gospel and declaring the goodness of Jesus Christ as their primary focus. And Lord, that you would cause those who are on the outside to hear the gospel. And Lord, we ask that you would do a work in Memphis through the Morning Center in Mississippi, where we're setting, Lord, through the work of the Urban Family Network and through your church, that you would cause people to hear the gospel, be brought from death to life, and you would do a work of revival in our land that would astonish us so much that we would not even think to ask you to do such a great thing. Father, we ask you would do this for the glory of Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Les, again, I'd like to also ask you to kind of share a little bit about this, too. You know, grateful that you're in the city of Memphis. And, you know, Memphis, sadly, for many years has been kind of a headquarters for abortion for the South. People come from Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, and further away, too, sadly, to come there to get abortions. And, of course, they've had a very large number of abortions to take place. And so, in many ways, a capital for the tragedy of abortion. And so I'm just grateful to the Lord that God would raise up a ministry like the Morning Center to be planted in a city like Memphis. Would you share how you all arrived at coming to specifically to the city of Memphis, and also some of the unique challenges of being in inner city Memphis?
Well, I think it's, you know, kind of twofold. One is, you know, we're looking to be in multiple cities everywhere there's need, and so you have to start somewhere. And so we looked at about 20 cities that had high abortion rates, and then we began to look at the unique offering that we were providing and our unique vision and what cities would most benefit from that, what cities would be the best fit. And so we looked for cities that already had an active pro-life movement that we could just plug in and do our part and partner with, that had a good number of strong, healthy churches. But then also we were looking at the abortion rate, as well as what is at the root of the abortion rate, and that is poverty rates, infant mortality rates. You know, Memphis is one of the poorest cities in America, is one of the worst crime cities in America. But there's also a lot of good things in Memphis. There's a lot of generosity. There's a lot of people trying to do good works. And so, you know, we're able to just plug in, as I say, in, as the Morning Center, and do our part. But I think one of the unique challenges that people who don't live in an urban setting, particularly in an urban setting with challenges of multi-generational poverty, multi-generational dependence, things like that, is that in a middle-class setting, you know, you have one problem and you identify that problem and you fix it. But, you know, if someone's been living, you know, in a poverty situation for a number of years, I mean, if someone's been living in a situation where there's lots of race issues, lots of mistrust, lots of crime, then their problems are integrated. So
they're compounded in so many different ways.
Yeah, so we'll have a patient come in, and we talk to her about healthy eating and how that'll help her baby, and she may get food stamps, but she doesn't have a car. And the only place that she can get groceries is, say, you know, a dollar store, a convenience store, where there's no healthy food available. Or she may have, you know, she may be trying to care for herself and being pregnant, and maybe the baby's father's not involved, or he's in jail, or maybe there's drugs or other issues in her extended family. So she's trying to care for herself and raise her children in that environment. And so one of the things that we try to do at the Morning Center is to provide what we call a gospel environment, where they can come in, feel safe, hear and fear the gospel, and feel free to kind of open up about what these other problems are, so that either us or a partnering ministry or a local church can plug in and really get down to the root. Because ultimately, this is about relation issues one at a time. You know, a girl doesn't have a typical abortion at risk problem. She's got her problems. And so, you know, you've got to drill down, and as I said before, not treat them like a statistic, but like someone who's uniquely created in the image of God.
Well, are you able to, like, as people come to the Morning Center, are you able to funnel them into local churches as they come through?
That's the goal, you know, and it's always a challenge. We're always looking for more churches in the zip codes where they are. You know, we've got a lot of good churches that are supporting us, and we're always looking for more in the neighborhoods where the girls live. You know, because, you know, telling somebody, hey, you know, there's a great church, there's a volunteer has been helping you, and she lives 28 miles away out in the suburbs. You know, it's not really going to be. So, we're getting there. That's the goal. And we've actually got a pastor who's serving as a full-time ministry director, and all he's doing is recruiting churches and volunteers and trying to find churches and other resources in the neighborhoods where the girls are so that we can plug them in with somebody. Because ultimately, you know, our role, a crisis pregnancy center has a window with them. Our role is limited. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, building that relationship with that church, we do partner, I'll tell you quickly, with a ministry called One by One, and it's all local church-based. But the idea is they take one mature Christian woman and partner her with one girl, and she'll mentor her through her pregnancy and the first year of the child's after the child's birth, so that she, you know, can get to know her, can figure out what her problems are, and basically helps her be a mom, helps her care for her baby, helps her get her problems solved. So that's, you know, that's what our vision is to just be our part, but connect the dots, so to speak.
Right, right. I'm going to take time just to pray for God to really raise up more people to come alongside a ministry like the Morning Center and others that do the same kind of thing, because there are lots of believers out there that could be doing something, but many times they think, well, that's a nice ministry. Isn't that good what they do? And I'll pray for them. But they don't think in terms of, well, hey, maybe I can get involved. And there's a need for every listener to think and ask themselves the question, Lord, what would you have me to do to help with a ministry like this? Lord, thank you for the ministry of the Morning Center, but not only the Morning Center, but thank you for many other ministries, pregnancy clinics and others that reach out to the unique needs of moms that find themselves expecting a baby in a difficult or a very challenging time or situation in their life. Lord, raise up more and more believers. In fact, Lord, I pray that you'll touch every single listener to really move them to ask themselves the question, Lord, what can I do to reach out to women in a situation like that? Mm. Lord, help us all to really ask ourselves that question with the goal of being wide open to what your Holy Spirit may direct us to do our part to really help in this very important outreach. And help us to know, Lord, and be reminded that you call all of us to be involved in the work of making disciples. Mm. And part of that involves loving people, spending time with people, giving of ourselves, pointing them to Jesus Christ, encouraging them in their walk with God, and loving them for who they are. Lord, help us to know, Lord, that every believer that's listening is to be listening and following you and being involved in this very important work of the making of disciples. Help us to know what our part is and to do it. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. And Lord, more and more, send along the path of the Morning Center more people, send them more volunteers, raise up people who will give financially to them, raise up people that will be intercessors, that will pray for the work that they do in view of the fact that there's so much spiritual warfare surrounding the issue of life and related issues as well. And just raise up more people that will do other things, that give baby items or whatever may be needed in the way of things that volunteers can do. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, speaking of ways people can find out more, get involved, I didn't want to be remiss in mentioning our Facebook page and our website. I know somebody asked on the chat, but for those who are listening, if you want to find out more about our work, we have a Facebook page, and most people are on Facebook these days, and it's The Morning Center Memphis. So if you're on Facebook and you type in The Morning Center Memphis, you'll find our Facebook page, and myself and a number of other people post there regularly updates, things that are going on with the girls, ways to get involved. And then we also have a website where you can get more detailed information. It's morningcenter.org, morningcenter.org. And, you know, there's lots of ways maybe we can talk about after the break that people can get involved.
Okay.
That they don't have to be rich. It's little simple things people can do and get involved.
All right. Okay, we'll share that on the other side. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Les Riley of the Morning Center. We'll be right back.
Tony Johnson inviting you to join me for Tony's Praise Party. It's the perfect opportunity for you to get your praise on any way you want. It's toe-tapping, hand-clapping gospel music that will stir up your spirit. And you'll get news that concerns you and information about your favorite artist along the way. Tony's Praise Party, Saturday morning at 6, again Saturday evening at 6, Sunday afternoon at 4, and Monday morning at 4. Find out more and connect with me at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says even when God doesn't get us out of trouble, he gets us through it. He'll explain why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The sovereignty of God means nothing happens to you unless it passed through God's fingers first. That's what sovereignty means. God is in control, either because he causes it or because he allows it. God did not deliver the three Hebrew boys from entering the fiery furnace. He joined them in the fiery furnace. The fire was still hot. The fire was still fire, but its effect on them was not normal because he joined them in it. If God has not taken you out of it, let him join you in it so that its effect is changed. All things are working together for good, Romans 8:28, to them who love God. If you are pursuing God in the midst of what he has allowed, do not underestimate the sovereignty of God. That if it got to you, it passed through him. And therefore, if it passed through him, allowing it to get to you, he let it get to you for a reason. It's not fate or aimlessness or luck or chance or any of the words that ought not be part of a serious Christian's vocabulary. We don't deal with luck or chance or fate. Those are empty, meaningless words for a Christian when you have a sovereign God who controls all things, no matter how idiosyncratic it seems to be.
God has not only put comfort around you, but inside you. Find out more in Dr. Evans' six-part teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Canton Jones, the song Hello Sunshine. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest is Les Riley, the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And Les, as we start off this last segment, would you share with our listeners what people can do, you know, what are some other things people can do along with what you've already mentioned to really be supportive of them? Praying, along with praying for the ministry, what are some other things the church can do?
Yeah, well, I would say that, you know, as we've had a few questions come in, and the questions that we get through our Facebook page or website are always, how can I help the existing work, and how could I get something like this in my town? And so I kind of answer those together. We've got, you know, what we call our four and four. Here's the four distinctives. Here's the four things we do, and then the four ways you can get involved. And we always start with prayer. because that's ultimately what we need and want. Mm-hmm. But then the second thing is you can partner with us. So if there's a ministry in the Memphis area, in the broader Mid-South Delta area, say from Jackson, Mississippi to Little Rock to Southeast Missouri, we're looking for ministries that that have patients that need our help, that can send people to us. We're looking for ministries that may offer services that our patients need, mm-hmm. that we can send them to. We're looking for churches, obviously, to come in and come alongside these moms to share the gospel with them, to love them. And then we're also looking for ministries like Urban Family Talk and others who have a network. So, even if you've just got a Facebook group of people who would be interested in a ministry like this, you can go like our Facebook page and share it. That mm-hmm. doesn't seem like you're doing a lot, but it really does help. So, mm-hmm. and then if you are interested in bringing a morning center to your city, same thing. We need partners. We're looking for people. Yesterday I was in Arkansas. Last week I was in Jackson, mm-hmm. Mississippi. We've got a group in Atlanta. We've got a group in Detroit. And so if you've got a group, a pregnancy center that says, hey, we'd like to partner with somebody like that, give us a call or send us an email and come to Memphis and mm-hmm. see what we're doing. Then the next thing is related to that. We want people to go.
Right.
And that is, if you just want to see what we're doing, if you mm-hmm. want like your church to see what we're doing, go to our Facebook page, send me a message, and we will set up a tour. We have mission teams come in all the time to do everything from, teach a class on something, to to witness to our girls, to help in the baby store, to remodel rooms. So there's a lot of things mission teams and churches can do. And then finally, obviously, is the give. And of course, it cost us $2,500 to $4,000 to deliver a baby. So, mm-hmm. We love big gifts.
Right.
But really, the way God works is through his people doing little things that they mm-hmm. can do. And mm-hmm. so, for instance, if you have a Sunday school class, it's got 12 people in it,
mm-hmm.
and each of those 12 people will give $20 a month, we can deliver a baby.
Right.
We can give a mom mm-hmm. all her care. And mm-hmm. so, don't think that Edmund Burke said it's a mistake to think that because you couldn't do everything that you shouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we have Sunday school classes, do baby showers for our patients. So First Baptist West Memphis did one just last week, and we brought mm-hmm. them a van load of diapers for our patients. So there's lots mm-hmm. of little things like that they can do. But if people, again, will go to the Morning Center Memphis on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
they can send a message and it'll come straight to me, and I can tell them how they can get involved.
Right. And you're speaking about supplies that you can give to donate that would help moms, and I think of this, I remember a young dad talking about the thousands of diapers he goes through with his babies. Well, of course, maybe it's not literal, but then sometimes in some instances, maybe it is. But the reality is you can always send money that will help, or if you choose to send diapers or items like that. The fact is there's so many practical things anyone can do if they're willing to do it. And the fact is God calls us in the church to be givers.
Right.
He calls us to be givers. And the fact is some of the greatest joys of our life will come as we give sacrificially to God's work. And so this is one more great ministry that God has raised up through whereby we put people can get involved with God's work in a place of need.
Yeah, we actually have a number of people that send us Bibles to give to our patients,
mm-hmm.
and we've got an Amazon store. We've got one little Christian lady who's for 2 years been every month faithfully going to Amazon ordering surgical gloves for our staff,
mm-hmm.
and they come. We haven't ordered surgical gloves in a long time. Because, she just said, well, this is one little thing I can do. And that's the way God works, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody doing the little thing, and he does great things through that.
That's right. That's right. Well, would you take time? Our time is almost gone. Not quite yet, but we're kind of running out of time. But would you pray for our listeners to recognize the need to be God's vessel wherever they might be? Because you mentioned, for example, some of the listeners might think, well, I'd really like to have a morning center in my city, in my community. Well, as you said, you start with prayer.
Right.
Because, again, so many times God will birth ministries as people just start to pray, and really seek his will, because that one person might be the key God uses to bring it to that city. So would you pray for the listeners then?
Sure. Father, Lord, I thank you again for the people hearing this broadcast. I do want to pray for the listeners, both on the radio network and those listening and watching online. Father, we don't know all their situations. We don't know all their needs, but you do. First, Lord, I want to pray that that if anyone out there has not heard and believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would, Father, that you would cause them to long for Christ, that you would give them the gifts of faith and repentance, that you would, Father, rob them of any sleep or any peace until they are right with you, and then cause the gospel to be heard by them and believe. And for, Lord, for those who have believed the gospel, we pray, Lord, if you're stirring their hearts to get involved in the morning center, Lord, we pray that you would direct them in the way that they should do it, not the way we would have them do it, but the way you would have them do it. That because we trust you for all our provision, we pray, Lord, that if they want to bring a morning center to their city, that you would birth that vision and cause it to be brought to fruition. And Lord, if it's not your will for them to be involved in this, we do pray that you would make that clear as well, but that you would make it equally as clear that their lives are not their own, that they are here to serve you by serving others and by proclaiming Christ to the nations. And we pray, Lord, that you would stir and equip your people to do all your good pleasure. Amen.
And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for every listener. And thank you for the opportunity we each have of being able to be involved in the great work you've called us to, in loving people and reaching out to a world full of need. Father, more and more raise up more individuals that will either get involved with praying and interceding for this ministry, or give financially, or even come and volunteer or come to visit and just see the great work you're doing here. But Lord, raise up more and more people that will both get involved with this ministry, but also raise up more people that will help to start similar works in their communities and in their cities as well. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You know, that's something that comes to my mind is that, you know, I think of two instances in particular where you have situations where, this is an important truth to understand. When a woman wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for anyone to coerce her to abort. Well, a lot of people don't know that law, and so sometimes you have parents that will force a teenager to get an abortion because they don't know that that's against the law. You may have a boyfriend trying to force a girlfriend, or even a husband trying to force his wife to get an abortion. But again, the law is if she wants to keep her baby, it's against the law for anyone to coerce her to keep one. Well, I think of two instances where it's so important for believers to know about a ministry like the Morning Center or pregnancy clinics because, again, they can help speak powerfully to such situations. One was a young lady who she called us, and she was 17 years old. And said, my parents have scheduled me to get an abortion. I want to keep my baby. Can you help? Mm-hmm. Well, in that instance, we were just able to share the Dear Parent letter. But also, you know, other than being in touch by phone, that was our main contact. So the Lord used that letter to help save her baby. She was actually, as it turns out, carrying twins. Wow. Well, God used the letter to help save those two babies. But then there was another instance where a young lady who she had... She found herself pregnant at a difficult time, and her mom had abandoned her a long time ago. She was living with her grandmother. And when her grandmother found out she was pregnant, her grandmother told her, either you'll get an abortion or you're going to get out. Mm-hmm. Well, she chose to move out and move to a halfway house because she didn't want to kill her baby. But now she knew she couldn't support it, so she put the baby up for adoption. But in a case like this, this was a brave young woman who was willing to sacrifice of herself to allow her baby to live, even though she didn't think she could keep the baby. But it's ministers like the Morning Center that embrace women in those situations that can help them at such a critical time because I don't know how many times I've heard women speak of how alone they feel, how abandoned they feel, how fearful they are because it's like people abandon them at times like that. And so a minister like the Morning Center is so important for reasons like that.
Right. Yeah, and we're grateful that God has put us in this position in this time. You know, we actually, and again, one of the reasons that we need churches and other ministries to partner with is, as you can imagine, we've got lots of those stories, and we often have girls come in and say, you know, I need prenatal care, and I also need a place to stay because you know my daddy or my mama or my grandmother has told me you're either going to abort or you're going to move out. And so we're grateful for their courage, but we also pray that the church will also have an equal measure of courage to step up and care for the least of these.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important to know, too, that everybody can help make a difference. Mm-hmm. Everyone matters, too. And we should never think, well, there's nothing I can do. I'm far away. I'm in a different community. Well, again, you can always pray, mm-hmm. but you can also always, you know, drop a check in the mail to a ministry like the Morning Center. And as you mentioned, too, sometimes we think, well, I can't give much. And well, even if they send a check for $5, well, if 1,000 people send $5, that helps a lot.
Yep.
So
that's right.
Every seed, every contribution makes a difference, Dan.
That's right.
So our time is about gone now. Again, would you share one more time the website information for people that want to learn more about the Morning Center?
Yeah, it's morningcenter.org. That's MORNING center.org, or the Morning Center Memphis on Facebook.
Okay, then. And again, if people want to come to visit, they just get in touch with you and let you know when they're coming.
We'd love to have you.
Mm-hmm. And also, you can steady looking for missions
that's,
groups as well,
exactly
right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'd love to have you, and we'd love to put you to work.
Okay. And whatever they're able to do, you'll be able to use them one way or another, yeah, right?
That's exactly right.
All righty then. Well, thank you so much, Les, for being with us today. We appreciate it. God bless you then.
You too. Thank you.
And again, keep up the great work. And for every single listener, make it your goal to really intercede and pray for God to bless the work of the Morning Center and to really, really pray about it. Well, I want to encourage you, drop a check in the mail to them as well. And when you get a chance, come visit. Come visit the Morning Center in Memphis as well. I guess that, as Les mentioned, they'd appreciate your coming. Lord, thank you for the work that Les and his staff are doing there at the Morning Center, and thank you for raising them up to do such an important work in a place of great need in the city of Memphis. Father, raise up more and more intercessors who will pray for the work that they're doing. Raise up more and more people that will give financially. Raise up more individuals that will volunteer of their time to come and give themselves to help at the Morning Center. But also, Lord, again, raise up more people that will listen to you and be the vessels you can use to start similar works in many other cities and communities where the need is for that. Lord, also we ask that you'd raise up believers that will help to provide mobile units that will move into communities of need and that will units that can serve multiple communities by going from one place to another. And Lord, help us to know that there's something everyone can do. There's something everyone can do, Lord, for those persons that maybe just want to go out and buy some diapers or buy baby bottles or different items that can help these moms. Lord, more and more raise up the people you want to come alongside to do their part to help this work. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.